Glory to you, Jesus. And in that name, Jesus, we come and thank you, God, that you've made known your presence here. And Lord, thank you. It's your word. And Lord, the word is always anointed. You are the anointed one. And Lord, in that we just want to hear and hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, continue to make this a part of the Church of Philadelphia. God, help us, Lord Jesus, to truly treasure. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Lord, you have so divinely given this to us. Lord, your word and your grace and your truth has given us that little strength, Lord God. We have not denied your name, Lord Jesus. Your grace is sufficient. And Lord, thank you, Jesus. You're causing us to press on. Lord, to press on, to press, Lord, and to reach for that mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you truly have. You've caused us to not looking back, not returning to those things of the past, Lord God, but Lord, to look forward. Lord, to look unto your coming, to expect it, Lord, to long for it, and to love the appearing of the bridegroom. Lord, just instill in us today more praise, more rejoicing, more thankfulness, and more faith in the coming of our soon coming bridegroom. We thank you for this time. Lord, shower us and fill us with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles up today, we're going to Hebrews chapter 11. It's been sweet. The Lord has had us here in thought of this precious encouragement of full overcomers. And we thank the Lord that we know that the full overcoming in our life is the grace that's given to us to believe the promises of God. And to believe those promises, no matter how amazing or how impossible that they appeared to be to each and every one of our forefathers of faith here in Hebrews 11, they believed God. That grace was sufficient to believe God. That grace was sufficient to wait on God. That grace was sufficient to trust God, that even when they did not believe, God was still abiding faithful in his promise. That's the grace of God that's with us. I want you to understand, all of these ones in Hebrews 11, they're just men and women just like us. And I know we get snapshots, and sometimes the Lord tells us, but they weren't always in that complete confidence, God's going to do this. God had to bubble that up in them. The grace, the anointing, praise God, power of God, that Holy Ghost was upon them, absolutely. And thanks be to God, that same power, hallelujah, and God's divine love caused them to look to the Word and to know that we have a faithful God and to remember those things that he had done, and everything that he had done was the Word of God, and that it was impossible for him to lie and it was impossible for him to fail, and he would not fail us. He would be forever faithful to us. That's your God. And now here we are in our moment, praise the Lord, as it tells us in this precious encouragement of the full overcomers in the Old Testament, right here in Hebrews 11, we have a better thing. That without us, they cannot be made perfect. They're a cloud of witness to us, praise the Lord, as we were talking, amen, about the friends of the bridegroom. And those young people, they know about the friends of the bridegroom. They're these full overcomers in the Old Testament, his friends that are with him right now. And praise the Lord for that witness, and praise the Lord for that anticipation. They are waiting in such joy and anticipation for the bridegroom's voice to call to his readied wife. Let's read, praise the Lord, from verse 13, chapter 11. Now, we've just had this precious introduction, ones like Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah. And it says in verse 13, these all died in faith. Well, I'll tell you what, you ever going to die? Die in faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. He takes me home, I'm going to, by the grace of God, going to be believing. Hallelujah. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. See, they saw them. and were persuaded of them. They just believed them. Praise God. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if they died. They knew God was going to fulfill. It wasn't predicated upon me living or dying. It was predicated completely on the promises of God, which are yea and amen. Isn't that awesome? So I know, as our pastor used to say for years and years, whether he takes me by the subway or the highway, praise be to God, I'm going to win Christ. Amen. So, and they were persuaded of them. They embraced them. See, that's what you do with the promises of God. You embrace them. It's a hug. Amen. You see, it's a cherishing. It's a bridegroom. You embrace that bridegroom. Hallelujah. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Oh, yes, I'm right there. Alien. Hallelujah. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned or gone back. But now they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Jump down to verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Praise the Lord, without a vision, the people perish. Without this embracing, without this absolute assurance, this grace, praise God, that gives us the love for the promises of God, a passion in our hearts. Without that, brothers and sisters, we'll turn back. And it's really interesting here as we begin kind of in verse 15, there's an acknowledgement that because of the trials and the battles and the sufferings that are encountered, they're required when we go into God's promises. We know these things. But because of those trials and the battles and all of those things, the waiting, but if you think you want to go back, you're going to have opportunity to go back. God will never force you. He will never force you. And the reason we have opportunity to go back is that if you're looking back at those things, you can retrace your steps. See, when they came out of Egypt, they could have retraced those steps. They knew exactly how to get back there. They could have went right on back to the place where their flesh was more comfortable with what they knew. And we know that story, don't we? God showed them mighty miracles. How many times did they say, oh, you took us out here to kill us. We would have been better being slaves back there in Egypt. Can you imagine that? But see, that's what the devil can do to your mind with unbelief. That's how confused and truly insane we can be to walk away from the promises of God. God help us. But for the grace of God, you're going there. But you see, brothers and sisters, and we know this, many of them wanted to go back, didn't they? And the word of God said their result was their bones waxed in the desert. They didn't go on into that promise. We read that on Friday night, didn't we? They drank the same water. They ate the same manna. They were baptized under that same cloud. That precious cloud of Jesus was all over them. But there were still only two that went in, Joshua and Caleb. And see, that's where we're going today, brothers and sisters. The ones that are like a Joshua and a Caleb. The ones that are like an Abraham. Their faith not only remained, their faith grew. And when faith grows, the things of God do not seem that far off. Amen? Is your salvation really nearer than when you first believed? You see what I'm saying? Praise God. Amen. And you know, if you'll continue to feed, I'll tell you that faith will grow so much that the promises grow so near. We sing a song, I'm living in Canaan now. Isn't that something? I mean, it becomes your reality, doesn't it? Praise God. I thank the Lord. I pray it's not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but if it is, praise His name. But I thank God for the assurance. I know where I'm headed, and I know I'm headed there real soon. And every day there's more anticipation by the grace of God and the assurance of the Word of God. It's so close. And it's never been closer. And it was the same for the likes of Apollos and the Apostle Paul. And those, praise God, that received that wondrous bridal message. They had the heart just like a Caleb. Caleb came out of Egypt. It wasn't time to go walk around in the desert. It was time to go right in to the promise. Why mess around? Let's go now. I thank the Lord for that anticipation. I thank God. I'm serious in my prayer. I thank the Lord. John said it at the very end. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. I know it's going to be on the Father's timing, but I want him to know it could never be soon enough. I love you. I want to see you. I want to be, praise the Lord, with my bridegroom. I want to be in that throne glory with you. I want my faith made sight. Praise God. And it's marvelous. And here we are. Thank you, Jesus. We're waiting for the appearing of the Lord. And as we believe and as that faith increases, brothers and sisters, all the promises of God, we live them right now. Do you not? Do you understand that truly in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, I'm just going to step right on over, not wondering what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to be doing. By the grace of God, I got a crown. You understand that? Amen? Don't you have a crown? Praise the Lord. I mean, really, do you have a crown? You do not. I pray you don't. There's no reason to hold a palm. I don't want a palm sticker. I want a crown. And I mean that so sincerely, and I thank the Lord for it. He tells me that we have it. Hold that fast which thou hast. I'm not trying to get it. He gave it to me. He gave it to me in the grace that he gave to me, that he's given to you, the same grace. Now, he said this. He said, I'll send that. And I'll perform it and I'll accomplish it in the thing that I've sent it to. Think of what he sent to you. Once again, I marvel that I get to sit, praise God, and to listen and to hear the whole counsel of God. I understand what's going out in the world. And I'm not trying to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. But Christianity is run amok. There's a lull and a departure from the truth. It's become a sensational thing and a growth thing because what has happened is they've gotten away from really knowing and the doctrine of the Word of God. And somehow, again, the enemy comes in. When that happens, he just goes right after your flesh, gets you to try to feel good and to say, well, this is how a Christian feels. You know, and so the way a Christian feels, I'm going to be just full of good works. And I'm going to go out here and I'm going to mission this and all of this. And then we get so duped that we think that we're in the kingdom age right now. So that here we go, you know, we're going to be servants and everything's about serving and all of these things. And yet they didn't even look at the Word of God for just a moment. Everything in that Word the Lord points you to is not about serving, it's about reigning. It's about a marriage. It's about jointly ruling and reigning together with Jesus Christ. It's about being glorified together with him. He wants his glory. He's anticipating his glory to be with him. He's seated at the right hand of the Father awaiting the throne. And there's a requirement that fulfills and completes the word of God that was given to Paul. And that is his wife. And that is his bride. And praise the Lord, that is what is preached and given here. Thanks be to God, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. That's exactly how each and every one of the forefathers of our faith walked into those amazing promises. It was right there. They believed God so simply. It didn't matter what everybody else was doing. And these were the ones that said, I'm believing God now. It doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter what comes against me. I'm living now with Jesus Christ by the power of God. And that's the power that's taken me in. That's the power that's taken me on. And I'll tell you, have you really realized the power of mercy? Because if you haven't, you've missed it. That power of mercy is everything. That power of mercy is what has you here today, sitting on the edge of your seat, saying, that's mine. He won that for me. I have nothing to do with it but to believe him. I am nothing but a vessel of mercy, getting complete, exact, extreme opposite of what I deserve from very God of very God. I just don't know how he can sum it up anymore in a lot of different ways to us, but I'm telling you, he's taken us, the beggar from the that heap of, you know what, and he is sending us, praise God, together with him in his throne, if you'll take it. So, I'll tell you what, I thank God. I really thank Him. And I praise the Lord, and I mean this so sincerely. I thank God that He gives us faith, such a set apart faith. Living in Canaan now, just like those brothers testified, they were bringing out one cluster of grapes. Two men had to put it on a pole and carry it out. I mean, are you really living? Are you living that you are blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? Are you living that? You can, you should, because you've been blessed with them. And you know what? You can't contain it because it's so much. And then you thank the Lord that, Lord, you're causing us to rule and reign with you now. And I thank the Lord, praise God, we occupy as a readied wife now. Isn't that beautiful? See, I'm not waiting for a marriage. By the grace of God, if you know the word of God, that happened for you at the well. It did. When you said, I'll go, you can interpret that, I do. And the only thing that we're waiting for right now is, praise God, our bridegroom to return to take us home to the place that He's been preparing. That's the word of God. And do you know the word of God for you? Is that alive and quickened in your heart? Huh? Amen? See, you can either hear about it and walk around it, like the millions did for 40 years. Or you can believe it like two did and say, I want to get in there now. We're well able to take it. And that's the difference. And that's this whole encouragement to us. See, when we continue to feed only on the bridal strong meat, ruling and reigning, glorified together with Him in truth and love message, there's no turning back. You weren't going to turn Joshua. You weren't going to turn Caleb. It was the grace of God that was with them. Don't think there was anything special in their flesh. There wasn't. But they believed God. That grace was sufficient. It didn't matter what everybody else was saying. It didn't matter what we saw. There's giants in the land. Well, God put them there. I'm not feeling well. My health is bad. I got a death sentence on me. But God put me there. Come on. Do we believe God? I'm not making light of it. I know it's not joyous for the moment. But the word of God says it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See, we're weakened in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's just been hitting me this morning. You know, those are the sermons, this, the side. I don't know which one is which. But I tell you, truthfully, you think about that. Jesus didn't look like, much like King of Kings and Lord of Lords, did He? He didn't look anything like very God, a very God, did He? He was a scrawny. There wasn't anything that you'd look at Him. He said that you'd behold, that you'd find Him handsome. He was probably homely. Weak, all these different things. There wasn't anything that would draw Him of the flesh. But see, that's what Christianity does. They're sizing up people. This one, you know. I pray that by the grace of God, there'd be good works in my life that come through. That's not my focus. God's after a heart. Did God not say about David, He's the man after my own heart? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And I know you know that. Encourage me, brother. I know you know that. I'm telling you, don't be surprised who gets a crown. Rejoice. Expect it. Be looking for those one things in somebody's life that draws you to them, not the one thing that says, well, I ain't going to get around them. Because there won't be anybody here. And that's the truth. If it isn't the Lord that's drawing us nigh to one another, we're in trouble. God help us to not be a bunch like that. And I believe, I'm believing God, He'll just hone it in. So there you go. But see, we have an exceeding eternal way to glory, don't we? Going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See, this is what we know. We know that it is our light affliction. And see, Paul is saying this. And I'll tell you what, if that brother is encouraging us with what he went through, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, what my eyes are seeing more and more all the time is right over there in Romans 8 and in verse 18. And this is what he's doing in our hearts. We're reckoning. And you know what we're reckoning? We're reckoning that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, are not worthy, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, so that's why, that grace is why we don't turn back. That's why that grace is the reason we don't quit. That's why we don't trace our steps back into the cares of this life. And by the grace of God, we forget those things which are behind. We forget them. We meditate on the lovely things. We meditate on the good report. I don't need to be hashing up things about somebody's life and talking about stuff. People acting as if they want to be your friends or have relationships with you. Don't dig up stuff. Don't you do that. That's not what it is. I glory in the Lord for your life just like I do mine. And I thank God he's brought us out of everything here. Everything. And he's keeping us in everything in here. You understand that? But the one common here is it's the whole counsel and the word of his grace and the truth and love ruling and reigning glorified together with him doctrine. That's why we come in here. That's by the grace of God why we come and what we come to feast upon and to hear. The Lord's called us to strong meat, brethren. That's what this is. This is our feasting. This is what God, hallelujah, has prepared for us. And he's got it for all of his children, but most don't want it. And I don't want to be one of those that I have to be dealt with, that I should be teaching and giving out strong meat. And because I've left it, I've forgotten it so much, I have to be taught again with milk. What a shame. What a tragedy. But let me tell you, as I was witnessing to those kids today, that's exactly what happens. Exactly what happens. This is something you don't just pull off in your memory. This is something by the grace of God you live in love and you abide, hallelujah, and just in thankfulness and awe of his grace and mercy all the time. And it's not me getting in the mirror and saying, wow, I really look like a wife for the Lamb. I'll tell you what, when I look in the mirror, I don't look, well, we don't even want to go there, but you know what I'm saying. Now, here's what's so beautiful. So, so beautiful. I look at every life out here. All praise to God's grace. We've all been tried in like manner as brethren that are not here anymore. I'm just saying it like it is. That's how the Word of God does it. All right? You felt the same pain. You felt the same trial. You felt the same test. You experienced it in the exact same way. You were even in unbelief and maybe tossed to and fro a little bit, just like they were. But they went back into something that was comfortable and familiar to their flesh. Something, again, that they felt could comfort and give them some sense right now. But not you. And all by God's grace. It gave you a desire for something greater. Matter of fact, as we read here, a better country. I'm thankful to say this ain't my country. It's not. I thank the Lord he's placed me here. This is where he has me. But this is not mine. I'm not a citizen here. You understand that? Now, technically, yes, you can say, oh, that guy's nuts, and you know, he's got a driver's license. You can see it right there and all, blah, blah, blah. No, you're just looking at something that's temporal. The eternal is what matters, and I know that. And I thank the Lord. I know who is my Father. I know that I'm born of God. I know that the blood of Jesus did that for my life. And I thank God that His grace is sufficient, that I'll tell you what, that even though our eyes can't see it, there is nothing more real to us because of the faith that He has given than that better country, praise be to God. Like I say, just stepping right on over. I'm not wondering where I'm going. I see all these people, well, you know, where did you go when you, did you see this? Did you see? I know when I die who I'm going to see. I know what I'm going to see. I know what I'm going to forever see. I'm going to see the Lamb's face right there, all the time, right there. And I'm going to have a body like unto His own, and then I can't even tell you what I'm going to be doing. But it's going to be glory untold. Hallelujah. But see, what this is getting after here, brothers and sisters, is there's always a halfway house. Brother Hill used to talk about this. There's a famous story. These people would go and they wanted to hike up to this mountain, and they had a halfway house always to that point that was halfway up that mountain. And what happened is people would get up there, and most of the time what would happen is they were so tired, they were so taxed, that they would rest there a bit and go back. But then there was the few that went on, and they went up to that height. But see, the Lord will always put out a halfway house. And the reason that God does that, it's God that does it, because He's going to prove those that love Him. He's going to prove to you. He has to prove it not to others. He proves it to you. See, to others, He's going to make known to all that He has loved you. But He has to prove it to you by His grace and by His mercy. Amen. And by His calling and by His choosing. And His foreknowledge, and His predestination, and His justification, and them He glorified. Amen? Amen? All right, I'm glad we're anticipating the same glory. Hallelujah. But see, that halfway house is always the place where the cares of this life and the hardships and the trials cause ones to turn away. And what happens is when we turn away from the truth, somehow, it's a very strange thing what happens, is we think that we're escaping something. We think that somehow we're so confined going after God that there's a freedom somehow that we are going to experience when we turn away from the truth. Because I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to be around the things that I want to be around that are going to make me feel comfortable. And the thing that the enemy is doing right at that moment is he is binding you. It's exactly what he is. He's tricky. He thinks that he can give you a feeling of euphoria and some freedom. I finally got away from them and all of this type of thing. And I now am doing what I want to do. And I'll tell you what, you just walked into his bondage. Turn on over to Romans 12:2. And we'll close with this because, so where are we? God gives us this. And we know that we're at this point, brothers and sisters, and we see these things. And I know that we're weary, but don't grow weary in well-doing. And in Romans 12:2, it says, be not conformed to this world. Be not. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we close this today, and it's asking yourself before the Lord, ask ourselves today, be thankful for the grace that's with us today. Are we becoming more and more conformed with the world? And be honest. Are our responses and our actions, our thoughts, are they more in tune and in lockstep with the world's ways and the world's speak? Or are we living the life of, it says here, transformed by the renewing of your mind? And if you really search that out, that renewing of your mind means opposing the things of this life. Opposing it. Brothers and sisters, are we ones, and I'm talking about Christians, who shun the brethren because of the world's pull? I want you to think about that. God help us that we're not going into that, that you're being swayed somehow, some way, to begin to be critical of brethren because of the world's pull. Are you looking differently? I was thinking. And it hurts my heart. And I take it because of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not that I'm anything, but Christ is. Do you look at me differently because of new ideas and causes and the plights of men? And I know some do, that I've known for years. But I thank God today, by the grace of God, not you. And I appreciate, as the Apostle Paul used to say, I commend you, brethren. Almost can't stay in my skin right now. I commend you. And you know what? By the grace of God, we just stay with the stuff. You just stay with the stuff. And that's just so beautiful. This is the result. We win. You know, full of comers, they win. And thanks be to God, I'll tell you what, and you win big with Jesus. That's the thing, you know. And I do, I thank him that we live a life and believe God. I got me a crown. I soon will be clothed with a lampros glory white like unto his own. And the greatest anticipation I know for all of us, by the grace of God, I'm going to have the kiss of the bridegroom pretty soon. And I've been feeling them pretty much for about the last 30 some years. So aren't you thankful, you know it? Aren't you thankful? Let's press on. Anticipate it today. The champion's about ready to be gathered home. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, and just so thank you again in Jesus' name for your Son. And Lord, thank you for this wonderful Holy Ghost that you have given to us to bring these things that were hidden. And Lord, these things that might be hard to be understood by those that wrestle with the truth, but Lord, by the Holy Ghost and his leading, as we just submit, again, by your grace, they're easy to be understood. And thanks be to God, Lord, these things we see now. My ears have heard, but now mine eyes see. And Lord, thank you for this vision that you have given us. And thank you, Lord, that we're coming to that point of, as the Word of God says, till we all come in the unity of faith. And Lord, thank you, we're coming to that point that you have desired for our lives, that there is nothing but, there is no other expectation. There is a life being lived in, I pray, all of us, if by any means we attain to that resurrection. Lord, we're listening. The sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, praise be to God, is a getting ready to call. I know, precious Jesus, you're so thankful, holding the hand of the Father, thanking him today, oh Lord. Oh, Father, the plan of God and what it has achieved, what it has gone out in the power of your might to perform. Oh, thank you, Jesus, and we rejoice with you, Father God, our precious Savior, and Lord, that wondrous power, the Holy Ghost working it in us. Oh, what a gathering it's going to be. And Lord, we do. We just ask you that your grace and mercy, Lord, just pour upon us. Lord, keep us for one another. Help us to just stay with the stuff. Having ears only for you. Having eyes only for you. Lord, till you come. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.